Welcome again to our studies on Know Your Bible. We are now at the second book of Chronicles that covers the period from the building of the temple by King Solomon to its destruction by the Babylonians. A period of something like 350 years. It flows from First Chronicles. And as we mentioned when we were studying First Chronicles, that book is written by Ezra, the priest called the Second Moses because of his deep love of the law. And in this second book of Chronicles, we have a period from the accession of Solomon to the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in the days of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. Now, we had said before when studying First Chronicles that essentially First and Second Chronicles covered a period that is very similar to the period covered from 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, but with a great difference. You see, 1 and 2 Kings cover both the lines of the divided kingdom that was divided after the reign of Solomon. And it was divided into the northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. 20 kings were in both lines, but essentially the line of Israel ceased in about 722 BC. The line of Judah continued until 586 BC. And essentially, we could say this, that the line of Israel were the apostate tribes, 10 apostate tribes, whilst those of Judah were, for the most part, at least during the better part of their history, loyal to God. There were those, of course, who disobeyed and brought idolatry back into Judah, but there were others who had marvelous revivals. Now, Ezra, in writing Second Chronicles, virtually does not mention the kings of Israel. And as we have said before, he's looking at things from a spiritual point of view. He's looking at those that will remain, if I could say this, who bring forth fruit that remains. None of the kings of Israel did so. So he's not interested in the apostates. He's interested in those that will make it. And I think there's a lesson there, you know. I've had the privilege of writing books on the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And one of the things I noticed when writing on the kings of Israel, they had tremendous witnesses from the prophets like Elijah, Elisha, Micaiah. But you know, in spite of all these demonstrations of the power of God, these kings of Israel persevered in their wicked ways. And there we have a thought and a truth, which I think is very important for the days in which we're living, that although people will see the great miracles of God, the marvels of God's grace that will be manifested in his glorious church in the last days, yet if their heart has not been touched, even observing the miracles of God, they will not walk in the ways of God. And so you see, Ezra virtually dismisses them. And I think you know that we have to realize this, that we want the fruit that abides, and it's better to put our time into those that are going to make it, rather than those who will see the miracles but yet will not accept the Lord as their Savior. So with that in mind, we come now to the second book of Chronicles. And basically, we could say it's divided into two sections. The first section is the reign of King Solomon. And the building of the temple. And that occupies, well, the first nine chapters of Second Chronicles. And then the next chapters from 10 onwards, we find to 36, the end of the book, we find that he deals with the reigns of the kings of Judah. Now, we're not going to look at every point that he brings out. But I want to first look at King Solomon. And King Solomon was a very remarkable man. He was one who was designated by God to ascend to the throne of united Israel after David. David, inaugurated his accession. He saw that he was crowned. He saw that he was anointed. And he gave Solomon many instructions on what he should do with the enemies of David. And also, he gave him the pattern of the temple that he entrusted to the care and of Solomon to build. He made these comments to Solomon: I know that thou art a wise man, and that thou wilt do the right things. Why could he say that? Well, you see, David, knowing that Solomon was to be the anointed heir, he spent much time teaching him. In fact, first nine chapters, virtually, of the book of Proverbs are all the teachings that David and Bathsheba gave to Solomon. They were awesome warnings. But one of the important truths that David, taught Solomon was wisdom. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, get wisdom, get understanding. Well, this had been so inculcated into the spirit of Solomon that when God appeared to Solomon and said, what would you that I would do for you? Solomon, had been so filled with this thirst for wisdom by King David. He said, give me wisdom, give me an understanding heart. And that pleased God. And God said, well, with it, I'll give you honor and riches. And he went on and said, now, if you will obey me and walk in my commandments and keep my commandments, I'll give you long life. Well, God gave Solomon a name, Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord, beloved of the Lord. And so everything started well. Solomon, through his wisdom, handled a case that was very difficult indeed. Two women, one claiming that the baby was hers, the other saying, no, it's mine. And so Solomon, in all his wisdom, said, well, bring a sword, I will divide the baby and give one to you and the other to the other. Well, the true mother said, oh, no, let her keep the child, kill not my son. The other one said, oh, well, let's divide the baby. And Solomon said, no, it belongs to this one. Well, all Israel heard about that, and they saw that God was with Solomon to indeed reign wisely. Well, his wisdom was renowned. not only throughout Israel, but throughout the whole of the world. Princes, kings came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And also there was one very notable monarch who came, and that was the Queen of Sheba. And her comments were, as she surveyed the beauty of the kingdom of Solomon, she said, "The half was not told me." Well, there it was, you see. Now, he built the temple, and the temple reveals some of the mysteries of God, the wisdom of God. It reveals indeed what God wants to do in these last days. And it was inaugurated, or dedicated, if we could say that, on the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is the last of the Jewish feasts. It's the Harvest Feast. It's the Feast of Great Glory and Great Joy. And as they inaugurated and dedicated the temple and brought in the Ark of the Covenant from the tent where it was on Mount Zion, then the glory of God filled the temple. And that is an indication of what will happen in the last days. Also, one of the other features of the temple were there were two rows, five in one, five in the other. And they had candlesticks, five candlesticks in each, making 10. Speaking of the commandments of God, that the commandments of God, you know, as it were in the temple. And we want the commandments of God written in our temple, for we are the temple of God. We want it written on the fleshly tables of our heart. And as we seek to walk and fulfill those things that are written of in the temple of Solomon, then in these last days we shall see the glory of God manifested in his church. Well, everything seemed to have started well. But you know, it's not sufficient just to keep one part of God's law. We have to keep them all. And as you look in Proverbs 9, shall I say chapters 1 to 9, there's continual admonitions and warnings concerning strange women. Well, David and Bathsheba knew the blood that they had passed on, the character weakness that they had passed on to Solomon through their own sin. And they were sought to warn Solomon. But Solomon somehow gave no heed to that. And he took many strange women. In fact, we're told that, well, he had 1,000 concubines and wives. And they were taken not just from Israel, but from the nations around. And true to the warning of God in Deuteronomy 17, you know, those wives turned the heart of Solomon in his old age to worship other gods than the true and living God. God was so furious with him, having appeared unto him twice, and he only was anointed twice. He did not get that third anointing. He was not faithful like his father David. And the result was, you see, that God said, "I will at your death take away 10 tribes, and your successor will only have 2 tribes." And so it was because of the sin of Solomon that the kingdom was divided after his death. And you know, as we mentioned before, God gave the promise of long life to Solomon if he would keep his commandments, but he didn't keep his commandments, and so died at the relatively young age of 60 compared to his father's age of 70. Well, we continue now, and Ezra picks up the history of Israel from the spiritual aspects of these kings. But I want to pick out just 2 or 3 of the notable kings that are mentioned by Ezra. He speaks about them all, but there are three kings that he gives special attention to. These three kings had notable revivals in their time. First one I want to mention is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a righteous man. The other side of the border in Israel was the most wickedest of all kings, Ahab. But Jehoshaphat made a commitment. He dedicated himself to the service of the Lord, and all Judah likewise followed the king. Jehoshaphat sent out teachers of righteousness to teach people the laws of God, so that because of it, God prospered his kingdom. And none were like Jehoshaphat, you know, rich and plenteous in goods. And the fear of Jehoshaphat, the fear of God, fell around the neighboring, if I could say this, nations, and they did not attack Judah. And so he had a time of prosperity, a time of prosperity. But unfortunately, he lacked one very important aspect that a leader must possess, and that is discernment. You must have discernment as a leader. And Jehoshaphat was invited to go and meet Ahab to the north. And Ahab made a great feast when Jehoshaphat came. And he said, you know, will you go up with me to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat made an appalling statement. He said this. He said, you know, we are as you are. We are the same flesh. Bone of bone, flesh of flesh. And oh, what a tragic statement that was. He went and helped a wicked king, and God rebuked him. And still Jehoshaphat did not listen. He went also and helped his son after Ahab's death. He also helped his second son, who succeeded his brother, who was killed. And God rebuked him on many occasions, but he did not listen. Do you know what the result was? Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her name was Athaliah. And she turned her husband's heart after the death of Jehoshaphat, turned it away from the things of God unto idols, so that the very temple of Solomon was polluted with idols. Well, the result was the line of Judah was polluted. And then Athaliah, after her husband's death, slew all the royal seed and reigned for 6 years herself. Judah was absolutely polluted. Mercifully, a sister had saved a little boy called Joash. And when he was about 6 years of age, well, 8 years was it, you know, the high priest Jehoiada, you know, presented him before the people and then slew Athaliah. Well, still, Judah was somewhat polluted, because Joash even turned in his old age against things of God. Well, there arose another king, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a beautiful man. And Hezekiah, you know, I think learned a lot from Jehoshaphat of what not to do. You know, Jehoshaphat, because of his disobedience, you know, enemies were raised up against him. Three notable enemies of Moab, Ammon, and Edom. And they came out to fight him. But God showed mercy to Jehoshaphat. A prophet came to him and said, "The battle is not thine, but God's. You shall not fight." And so Jehoshaphat said, "Believe the prophets and you will prosper." And they sent out the singers who worshiped the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And those three nations fought against one another, destroyed themselves, and Jehoshaphat and his people in the valley of Baraka, then gathered all the spoils. But Hezekiah was a different. He had a tremendous revival at the beginning of his reign. And then, because of the wickedness of the people, you see, God said, "I'm going to raise up the Assyrians under Sennacherib, who will come down." They'd already taken over Israel, and they'd already destroyed Samaria in 722 BC. But Sennacherib, God said, "I will use to chastise Judah." But he said, "I will defend Jerusalem." Well, remarkable things happened. Hezekiah, and a leader has to be prepared for trials. And so one of the trials was this. Hezekiah was sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah came to him and said, "Put your house in order. You're going to die." And Hezekiah turned over on his bed and said, "Oh Lord, extend my life." And Isaiah was told, even before he got out of the court of the king's palace, "Go back and say, I will give you 15 years. And then Hezekiah said, "Well, what will the sign be that I'll be back in the temple in 3 days that Isaiah had mentioned?" And Isaiah said, "Well, do you want the sun to go forward 15 degrees, or do you want it to go back?" And these two, the king and the prophet, the king's in bed, the prophet's sitting by his side, and, the prophet said, "Well, what do you want done?" And Hezekiah said, "Well, it's easy for the sun to go down. Nobody had ever seen it go down before." But he said, "Let it go back." And Isaiah said, "So will it be." So Isaiah, having said that, cries out to God, and the sun goes back, you see. Well, he gets 15 years. So he's fortified by the power of God to believe God for the next thing that God says. And God says, "I will defend Jerusalem." The army of the Assyrians is around Jerusalem, 185,000 of them. And they're mocking Hezekiah, they're mocking his messengers. And then they send a letter mocking Hezekiah, mocking God. He spreads it out before God, and Isaiah says, "God is going to work." And God sent his angel, and he slew those 185,000 men, and Sennacherib had to go back. Well, Hezekiah, his name became great, and God mightily blessed him. Unfortunately, he didn't render unto God for all the benefits that God had given him. He became proud. And at that time, he had a son called Manasseh. And when he came to the throne, instead of walking in the ways of Hezekiah, who had repented, incidentally, for his pride, but this Manasseh walked in the ways of the idolaters, the heathen, and the result was, bloodshed was everywhere. Well, God raised up a righteous man, a righteous king by the name of Josiah, of whom he had prophesied some 350 years ago that a king by this name would arise. And this king, Josiah, had the greatest revival Israel had ever known. And it's a type of what will happen in the last days. Because you see, after this great revival, great wickedness came, and the temple and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians that God had raised up. In fact, he even prophesied concerning this in Moses' day on the plains of Moab, and you can read about it in Deuteronomy. But here is Ezra presenting many beautiful truths. And Josiah, godly man, wonderful man of God. And he has this great revival. And it speaks of the great revival that God will give before the days of the Antichrist, before the end times. And we do well, to understand what God is going to do. We see violence everywhere. What is God's answer? God spoke to me so clearly. He said, my answer is revival. I'm going to send a great worldwide revival. To give every nation an opportunity to hear the gospel before the coming of the Antichrist. And so, as in the days of Josiah, 40 years before the fall of Jerusalem, there was this great revival. God is also going to give a great revival before the end times. Let us prepare for it, and let us cry out to God, may I be a part of this revival. And so I want to encourage you, live a godly life. Live a life of righteousness and holiness, that, we might be like these godly kings, but also let us be careful that we do not open the door to Satan by not being completely obedient to God in every area of our life. Because after all, we do not want to be like Jehoshaphat, ruin our work. And so may God bless you. Amen.